The dark side's calling out like the misery. She'll never know just how I feel. From out of the shadows she walks like a dream. Make me feel crazy, make me feel so mean. Nothing gonna save me from the love that's blind. Slipping to the dark side across our line. On the dark side.
Pain in the Morning, Thomas Paine Podcast, January 11th, a Monday. And many folks out there might feel like we're living on the dark side, or a stretch of the dark side, or headed for the dark side, some kind of a dark side reference. That's why I opened up with John Cafferty, the Beaver Brown Band, when I was 17, or I guess I was 18 in college. 18 or 19? We spent the night drinking with these guys in our down at our fraternity and at our college. They played at our college. And these guys could drink. I mean, kidding around. there's a dark side the next morning when those guys woke up, I bet. But, you know, hey, when you're professional, damn it. But I hope you guys have coming off a good weekend, or, you know, a weekend you could try to salvage as best as you could. So I'm wishing you folks some good vibrations from the weekend. And some good vibrations for this week. We need some good vibrations for this week, folks. And the phone lines are lighting up here at the Thomas Paine Podcast. The texts are coming in. A late Sunday night. There's still a tinge of electricity in the air for everything that's happened in the last week or so. And whew, still haven't caught our breath around here. And last night, Saturday night's all right for fighting, right? Saturday night's also all right for a three-hour podcast on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We did 3 hours last night on Pain After Dark. And that's getting rave reviews from our patrons, whatever you say it, French, American. I can do all different types of enunciations and pronunciations. Yeah, it was a hell of a show. We had Maria Albanese on. She's a fan favorite. And we just started talking and boom, and it flowed. It wasn't like dragging on. It wasn't like watching a film strip in school on the reproductive system. Although, I'm sure those film strips now are a little bit more interesting than they were when I was in school, or maybe perhaps when you were in school. But anyway, that's a topic for Pain After Dark in itself. But yeah, one hell of a chat. And again, we're dealing with adult issues. The adults are at the table. We've sent the kids out of the room. Get out. We need to talk about real issues. And if you're easily offended, then you head to the kiddie table and get yourself some dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets and get your little asses up to bed. So we appreciate the... I like doing that stuff on Saturday night, and that'll be a staple this year as we now have dipped our toe into 2021, and we're basically, after last week, okay, even though it was 7 days into the end of the month, we were fully immersed in the month of January, whether we like it or not. I think that's some people like to ease their way into the new year, and we didn't really have that choice. So, folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, thank you for your support. And we are happy that you enjoyed the show. And if you haven't jumped in there yet and you're not on our subscriber platform, jump in. We'll be doing more stuff. And this week, I will finally be able to roll out some of the things that I wanted to last week. But y'all know why last week might have gotten a little complicated and convoluted. This is a new week. Let's start the week off new. And let's ease up. Since we were waterboarded into the month of January, whether we liked it or not, let's start off. Ease our way into, at least we can ease our way into this Monday, January 11th. 1-1-1-21. We can control at least that much for the next few hours. Now, what happens after the sun comes up or after the sun is fully up, I can't say for sure. But anything's possible, as you know. Okay, so let's start off with a few. Let's go to a mailbag. We haven't gone to mailbag in a while. Some comments from nice and interesting and in-depth comments from last night's show, and also some general political comments on the boards at patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Do you like how I worked in that plug again by going to the mailbag? I'm just kidding. Everybody wants some. Everybody wants some insights and analysis. So we'll give you some. Let's go. From John S., a great show, great points. Citizen Pundit, that's Marie Albanese, Citizen Pundit. It's killing it tonight. A psyop for both sides, absolutely. Over the last 4 years, no one did serious time. He's talking about prison time. Mueller destroyed the Dems' hopes of nailing Trump, and Barr and Jeff Sessions and Durham destroyed the hopes of the right nailing the left. In reality, no one on both sides went to jail. And with COVID happening right after the impeachment, it seems like the whole impeachment charade was needed to get COVID set up to roll out. Looks like it was all a grand illusion in caps. I use that. We'll play that song tonight, I think, at some point. Osama bin Laden was the boogeyman to save America from a war on foreign terror. The 17th letter of the alphabet he's talking about seems to be the mold that they want to put all government dissenters into so they can destroy you in the new war on domestic terror. Makes sense why Trump had to lose. Objective complete. Leave a mark on our back so big that the corporations and big government have the enemy they need to seize the power. I told you these folks are not playing games on you. Somebody's telling me to, Christopher is saying, spill the beans, my man, because these folks know I've been holding back a lot, especially the last few months, as it's been very difficult to get your message out without people flipping out. And it's very emotional, very people, very sensitive. I'm working on it, Christopher, I'm working on it. We talked about changing some... Well, you have to listen to the show, but we talked about going back to some old-school tech to get around these social media overlords. Speaking of tech, we're using a new camera tonight, so I hope it's working. And I hope it comes out. If you're on those two platforms and there ends up being no video, then you know it didn't work. I think it'll be fine. Folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, they get access to the video podcast. We talked about Mr. Byrne, the latest sensation out there. Patrick A. says, I felt in my gut that something wasn't believable about Byrne. Thanks for clearing that up. am upset with myself that I feel for all those lies, fell for all those lies. Why does the government have to lean left / communist? Well, we talked about Byrne. You know, he's the darling now. He's quote unquote whistleblower. The same guy who got out of a federal gun charge without going to jail or being indicted, working for the FBI, presumably, I would think. You have to ask Mr. Byrne. Nobody ever seems to mention that. Or think maybe he's working for the FBI, as in the past. Downtown working for the FBI. Dana A., man, the supposed right-wing internet world is the Wild West. Welcome to Crazy Town. You're not kidding. There was a hot Crazy Town talking point last night that Nancy Pelosi's laptop was stolen during the siege of the Capitol, and consequently, she was arrested at the border last night trying to escape the country. Guys, come on, man. Who comes up with this nonsense? And it spreads like wildfire. If you're out spreading this stuff around, yikes. Pelosi's the most powerful person in the government right now. How would she get? Who would arrest her? God would have to surf down on a cloud and arrest himself or / herself, depending on how woke you are about the Lord. But these people, as she says, they're smoking the good shit. And you're not kidding. Except they could be smoking bad shit, too. Let's see. There's just so much. There's hundreds of messages from last night. Over 100 messages. And we'll ease our way into, read a couple more, and then we'll ease our way into the news. Don't worry, it's none of it's very good news for us, so nobody knows when you're down and out, right? No, I want clapped and not the stones. Nobody knows when you're down and out, I'll tell you. Yeah, when Marie and I start talking, it can turn into something that neither of us anticipated and, head towards something that's really good. And I think that's what happened last night. Of course, I'm being modest. I know that's what happened last night based on the feedback. A great interview, Mike. This is from WHEC. Wish I could say I was shocked at all this, but I expected it. I want my information up front. I don't like having to decode a bunch of mumbo-jumbo quackery. Hey, I'm with you, man. Let's talk English. You speak English? I struggle enough with English if you listen to this show. I can't do codes. Now this guy, Brian F., he might be head of all of us. An awesome show. I've actually avoided social media the last decade. I want to hang out with this wild man. Never was on Twitter and Facebook account. Got rid of a decade ago. To me, social media was always a waste of time unless you're promoting a business. It's an absolutely horrible platform for politics. Man, you're not kidding, Brian. People are asking other questions. I have things I don't want to get into because I'll go off on a tangent, get me fired up about some of these dummies that we have to all stomach and weather on these platforms. Let's see what else. This is interesting from Al G. Al, last initial G. Over the next 11 years, the center of capitalism will move east to Asia. USA, Canada, and Europe will become the epicenters of socialism, Marxism. After two world wars, I did not believe this was even possible. But the fact is, it is. It's already here if you look for it. My father-in-law trained the young pilots in Britain to fly the Spitfires to turn the war in favor of the Allies and defeat totalitarianism. And now I see and live this new iteration of authoritarianism. We need a spark to wake the people from their slumber and rise up against the government. We need more than a spark. We need a fucking miracle. Thank you, Al. I think you know I agree with you. It goes on. Yeah, there's just a lot of comments. Great show, perhaps the best. Have her on more. She brings out the best out of you and vice versa. If it was a sports show, it would be known as Mike and the Mad Dog. By the way, I have numerous friends wanting to know how come my political predictions are correct. I cite your show. Thanks again. That was from Timothy M. Hey, it's good stuff. Yeah, I appreciate the feedback. People are asking me about my talking about this General McInerney. He's making crazy claims. Guys, you have to dismiss this. If it seems like crazy town, it is. And McInerney's track record is... Yikes. You know, just folks, just because these guys served as generals and things like that, it doesn't necessarily mean they're smart. I hate to break the news to everybody. Some of these guys are real dummies. But moreover, many times they have financial interests involved with different corporations and different think tanks and things where they're paid to say things, true or not. They don't care. You think the military always tells the truth? Give me a break. So it's not necessarily out of character for them to provide misinformation. It's part of, again, we talked about the trade craft last night. It's part of the trade craft that these guys have employed against the American public. Psychological warfare. It's something else. I talked about some secret stuff we have. Well, it's not secret anymore on the platform, but I'm not going to announce it on here yet because I'm not ready. But if you jump in and read some of the comments and listen to Saturday's show, you'll know that the secret's out of the bag on one of the mousetraps we're working on here. To build a better mousetrap, of course, that is the... not hard to do, as opposed to social media, what they offer. So, let's see. Have a little bit more Clapton as we ease into the show here. Let It Rain. That seems to be a theme these days, right? Let It Rain. Let's just keep it light today as far as news. I mean, we'll get into some news. We're going to get into the news right now, as a matter of fact, but we're not going to clobber you over the head. You're probably still dizzy from last week like I am. I've been in the news business a long time and in Intel a long time. I'll tell you, last week was unbelievable. Of course, it was historic in many, many ways, but just... a turbulent week, especially if you're conservative. And the way everyone has turned on conservatives, of course, it's not fair and it's unwarranted, but these folks are vicious. They want everything from you. It's unbelievable. You've never been involved in a negotiation where they want everything and they cede nothing. It's fucking tiring. It really is. It's exhausting dealing with these people. Things will play out in the next few months, and we'll discuss them. There's no reason to lump all that on you right now. But we will have to discuss and ask some hard questions and give some hard analysis so we can move on here. And that's my goal, to keep it real so you can have the intel in your pocket to make good decisions for your family. That's what this fucking thing's all about right now, Thomas Paine Podcast. To put information and intel in your hands, just like we used to when I was in the mainstream media for the readers, hundreds of thousands of readers, man. And intel, whoever we were working for, if it was for Uncle Sam, then Uncle Sam, but if it was for a corporation, for Citigroup, when I was with Citigroup, running their part of their primary intel platform there. It's about getting information in people's hands before anybody else, before things start trending, so that you can make decisions to profit you personally, to benefit you personally. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about how to navigate tough situations. It's easy to navigate a tough situation if you knew it was coming months before everybody else. It's a fucking breeze. Well, that's the point of this. And there are so few people out there looking out for you and your family. I mean, and I just tell you the same things that I use to navigate uncharted waters for my family and my loved ones. So it's a win-win. I'm doing this anyhow. So why not share it? Haven't been wrong yet. 4.5 years. Pretty goddamn good record. I don't anticipate being wrong. That's where I come from. You don't make mistakes. You make mistakes, somebody ends up on a slab. And you can't sleep at night. Or the relatives come looking for you. But that's another. All right, let's get into this. Let it rain. Yeah, well, hell, we don't have a choice. It could be raining for a long time. Maybe it's raining or snowing where you are. Do you get snow? Maybe that'll help take a little bit of an edge off an otherwise dreary beginning of 2021. I'm trying to find the music here. He's stalling, Mildred. He's got nothing. Okay. First headline. Twitter bans Trump, but Iranian Ayatollah, Louis Farrakhan, Chinese propagandists, and a bunch of other lowlifes are still active and tweeting. How about some clamp down? We might go heavy on Clash tonight. It was a clamp down. I'm surprised we're still there. I don't know. We lost 50 or 60,000 people, followers, in a day. Okay. That's a legitimate platform, right? We're still there, but severely wounded. Who cares anyhow about my ass and our ass? They already yanked one account from us for no reason. They obviously can do whatever they want. Twitter sparked major controversy Friday with his decision to ban President Trump from its platform following Trump's brief suspension after the violence that took place on Capitol Hill Wednesday. Twitter announced on Friday evening that the president will no longer be able to tweet. A gutsy call by Twitter, right? Wait till the fucking stock market closes and then make a move. Don't think that they're not motivated by stock price and the market, etc. They knew exactly what they were going to do when they suspended him for 12 hours. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They just waited for the stock market to close. See what it looks like when it opens up Monday morning. After close review of recent tweets from the Real Donald Trump account and the context around them, specifically how they're being received and interpreted on and off Twitter, now you can get it. You can get tossed off of Twitter for how your stuff is interpreted on the street. That makes a lot of sense. We have permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further incitement of violence. The company wrote in a blog post highlighting two relatively tame tweets from the president earlier Friday, one which stated he would not attend the president-elect Joe Biden's inauguration on January 20th. The company argued that they had to be viewed in a wider context. So now Twitter's responsible. They're not only a social media platform. They're the fucking mind police. They're analyzing what your tweet means. So if you tell Jack Dorsey to go fuck himself, it goes to a committee and they analyze what that could mean. What could that mean? Give me 3 pages on what that means. I need it by midnight. These two tweets must be read in the context of a broader events in the country and the ways in which the president's statements can be mobilized in different audiences, including to incite violence, as well as in the context of pattern of behavior from this account in recent weeks, the company said. After assessing the language in these tweets, These guys. The linguistic police are here, folks. This is linguistic intelligence. It was invented by the FBI back in the day. Go after the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. They examined his manifesto and they were able to try to pinpoint who he was by looking at his patterns of grammar and spelling and usage. Now Twitter's taking it up a notch. The only thing missing from this is some weirdo in a tent with a babushka and a crystal ball Twitter.
I see violence in the future. Yes, we must.
Jesus, God Almighty. Well, they purged a lot of other people, too. I would say a tremendous amount of people, as you know. Police and thieves, right? They police your account, and then they steal it from you. I need a quick drink of water. Bear with me. Friday night purge that cost big platform pro-Trump supporters, the ones like myself that didn't get whacked and lost a shit ton of people. The last time Twitter was at the center of such a censorship firestorm was in October when the tech giant decided to block the New York Post's account after the newspaper broke its bombshell report on Hunter Biden's foreign business interests during the 2020 presidential campaign. That turned out to be more than true. Believe me, we have a lot of stuff in-house. You wouldn't fucking believe it. How do you release it now, though? We're working on it. Without getting your door kicked in. Or somebody coming up behind you. In line at Starbucks, somebody comes up, puts a bag over your head, stuffs you in a white van.
I want my latte, goddammit.
However, Twitter's critics are pointing out the glaring exceptions the platform appears to have made for some of the world's most hateful and dangerous voices. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has emerged as one of the most powerful Iranian leaders of the last century, and he wields control over all aspects of the country's government, military, and media, including who dies, who gets attacked by terrorists. Khomeini's a maniac. He's been a maniac since the 70s. He still is a maniac. He incites violence on a regular basis. He's killed people. You read my book, How We Dismantled the FBI in Our Pajamas. Talk about all about Khomeini and some of the shit that they do. The Islamic Republic of Iran. They have a voice on Twitter, but the President of the United States does not. You can't make it up, folks. And the you can find the whole story on True Pundit. Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro still has an account. He's a frequent Twitter user. And according to the United Nations Human Rights Council, commissioned report has committed extensive and systematic human rights abuses. he gets an account, though. You can't even. Other controversial figures who still have active Twitter accounts include O.J. Simpson, who joined Twitter 25 years after the murder of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman. Also known anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan and white nationalist Richard Spencer. Frequent Twitter users. What a shit urine-soaked cat box Twitter is. Police and thieves, again, they police your account and they steal it from you. While the other folks are allowed to frolic. Who said crime doesn't pay, folks, in this country? Not me. I've changed my thinking. Crime does pay. Pays very well. You just have to be in the club. How do you get in the club? Yeah, good luck. Next story. Amazon boots Parler off its web hosting service. This has been a hell of a weekend for conservatives on the internet. How about some Wu-Tang Clan? Why is it not playing? Seems to be some type of a glitch. Must mean it doesn't want me to play it. Next, on to Triumph. Lay it on the line. Maybe we'll come back to Wu-Tang. You never know. But Cash Rules Everything Around Me seems like a pretty apropos song. Amazon is booting social media platform Parler off its web hosting services, Amazon Web Services, AWS, which will knock the platform offline at midnight Sunday. That is in just a matter of minutes until it can find a new host. Folks, if you expect Parler, if you're using Parler and you expect it to be up and running anytime soon, it's no easy feat to take a website of that size and get it back up and running in a matter of days. Not going to happen. So they basically knocked it the fuck off the internet for the time being. Amazon says the content on the social media site violates its terms of service, adding that it does not believe Parler has a good strategy for cracking down on speech on its platform. Recently, we've seen a steady increase in violent content on your website, all of which violates our terms, said Amazon in an email to Parler. It's clear that Parler does not have an effective process to comply with the AWS terms of service. But people on Twitter, which uses AWS as a partial backbone, I believe, they can threaten to chop my head off. The Ayatollah can threaten to chop our heads off, kidnap us from our homes and dismember us and waterboard us with gasoline. That's okay, especially if you're a conservative. We'll teach these bastards their place. It also seems that Parler is still trying to determine its position on content moderation, email added. You remove some violent content when contacted by us or others, but not always with urgency. So these guys not only dictate how you live your life, but how fast you do things while living your life. No, they don't want to control much, do they? It goes on and on and on. Parler is bad shape, folks. It's the way it is. These guys rule the roost. And I'm not going to get up in arms about it, because I'll tell you why. When we get kicked off platforms or suspended, nobody gives a shit about us. It's every man for himself out here, if you haven't figured it out in the media. But I will say this. I saw some crazy shit on Parler over the weekend. Especially this Lynn Wood guy. Yikes. I mean, what is going on there? If you let a guy like that run wild, all bets are, you're not doing yourself any favors, let's put it that way. You have to say, yo, dude, you're out of here. You're completely outer limits, stuff you're saying. It makes no sense. And people love it. Retweets. And when he was on Twitter, he got kicked off of Twitter. I couldn't believe the number of retweets I was seeing. Are these real people tweeting him, or are these bots or sock puppet accounts or something? Because are there this many stupid people? Is that possible? I'm going to say that it was bots and sock puppets just to help salvage my belief in my fellow man these days. But, man, I mean, you can't. just because you have free speech doesn't mean you can act like a fucking maniac. Free speech doesn't cover that. You can't say things that are completely untrue and wild and just made up. And we've seen that since the election. We've seen that play out over and over and over. Hence the problems hence the problems. Now, is all this fair? Not necessarily, but having maniacs on your platform doesn't help. And I've said this for a long time. This is nothing new here. I can't go out and say whatever the fuck I want to say. Just make stuff up and stuff. How could I expect to stay on the air? How could I expect this to keep accounts? You can't make things up. And just because you think something is real, even if it's outlandish, you better have proof. And absent proof, you're just a kook. You can't. Well, I mean, you can say whatever you want, right? But you get called on the carpet and said, hey, where's your proof? And you just move on to the next crazy statement. That's how you get jammed up, folks. And free speech doesn't cover a lot of other things like that, regardless of what you're being told on the internet by other people. Most of the people who are acting that way. Doesn't work that way, folks. Especially when you're trying to conduct yourself professionally. What do you think is going to happen? You need to be realistic. And again, I said these are conversations for adults in the room, not little children. Understand how the world works. So I don't know what's going to happen to Parler, but I would say, too, beyond this stuff like that, they definitely have the knives out for Parler. And when these guys turn on you, it's fast. It is fast. It comes at you fast. And I know that the Parler's using up to 500 different servers. You can't just replace those overnight. So I don't know when they're going to be up, but I would characterize this as a significant blow to the upstart Parler, which was adding a lot more people recently, of course, especially with President Trump's expulsion from Twitter. I've been expelled from places. Don't worry, President Trump. You'll be all right. I've been thrown. What did Groucho Marx say? I won't be part of any club that would have me as a member. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Take it from me. Okay. Where are we going here? Oh, boy. It's unbelievable. How about some games without frontiers? Little Peter Gabriel. Nancy Pelosi says... Nancy Pelosi says Democrats will impeach Trump for incitement of insurrection unless he steps down. Editor's note, our young bucks wrote in, are you excited for all the healing? Got some smart asses here if you haven't figured it out. I have to tell you, these guys can move pretty quick when they want something to get done that they want, right? Put money in your pocket. Not so much. Trying to benefit you out here, they drag their feet. These guys can make things happen in a matter of hours, though. These criminals in Congress. If it comes to representing you, though, forget about it. All bets are off. House Speaker gave President Donald Trump an ultimatum to either step down from office or face a second impeachment from House Democrats. The Democrats said they will charge President Donald Trump on Monday with incitement of insurrection and one article of impeachment over the rioting at the U.S. Capitol. Today, the House Democratic Caucus, blah, 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 blah. Pelosi said in a statement, blah, 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 my chocolates. I'm going to be indicted over my chocolates, impeached over my chocolates. Yeah, I have to have my chocolates. We're going to impeach him right after I have my chocolates and ice cream. Yeah. It's my hope that members, in the hope of members, that the president will immediately resign, Pelosi said. But if he does not, I have instructed the rules, blah, 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 chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Pelosi said she's prepared to move forward with Congressman Jamie Raskin's 25th Amendment legislation and a motion for impeachment. There's 9 days left as of today. These guys are going to move at a lightning fast pace. Many families are out there starving, and they could give a shit about that. Tells you all you need to know about the swamp in D.C. on both sides of the aisle. You can't even believe it. Again, the comment at the beginning of the story, are you excited for all the healing? We're supposed to come together as a country. Yeah, right.
What do we have for
another Pelosi story? I don't think I can take it. All right, we'll just keep the same song then. Games Without Frontiers.
In games without frontiers, war without tears.
Pelosi says she spoke to General Milley about not allowing Trump to order a nuclear strike. Editor's note from our young bucks. How is this acceptable and not some sort of a coup? Pelosi's gone into her Alexander Haig mode. She thinks she's in charge. She damn near is in charge. But not quite. Actually, far from it. Pence would be in charge of if something happened to Trump. But Nancy's just running the entire government. They give conservatives a hard time for going around certain, you know, protocols. But Pelosi can go just lobby against the president with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's nice. That tells you all they need to know, all you need to know about what they think about you out here. And the rule of law. There's no rule of law. These guys are rogue. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi discussed with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, the course of action for preventing President Donald Trump from launching a nuclear strike.
This morning I spoke with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley. And discuss available precautions for preventing an unstable president from initiating military hostilities, of accessing the launch codes, and ordering a nuclear strike. I also talked to him about my ice cream and chocolates.
What does this bitch think she's doing? I mean, seriously. It's unbelievable. Got her and Schumer, they're out of control again. It's going to be a long 4 years. Well, it might be 4 years. I think the GOP is probably toast. We might not. I don't know if we make it 4 years before things eventually blow up for real. None of these assholes might be recognized as leaders of the country before the next 4 years, depending on how far they push Americans. We'll see what happens. Speaking of assholes, and a sledgehammer,
Lindsey Graham is more determined than ever to strip tech companies of legal protections after Twitter bans Trump.
Can you believe this fucking plastic Madame Tussauds wax idiot? Editor's note, the young bucks are chiming in pretty passionate tonight. Editor's note, why didn't you do anything for the last 4 years, especially the two you controlled, had total control of the government? That was a valid question. You know why? Because it's all a protection racket and a mirage. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, Lindsey Candy Graham of South Carolina, said he was more determined than ever to strip tech and social media. I mean, he might be determined to strip. We don't want to get into that. To strip tech and social media companies of legal protections under Section 230 after the president was banned permanently from his Twitter account. Is there anybody more full of shit? I'd say FBI agents might be more full of shit than Lindsey Graham. He would have made a good FBI agent, Lindsey Graham. He would have made a good FBI agent. Twitter banned Trump on Friday, as we know. Graham took to his Twitter account to decry the action and call for Section 230 to be rescinded. The law protects some tech companies from legal repercussions over speech posted to their platforms by third parties. Hey, don't worry, Lindsey. Now Twitter is taking it up a notch. They're analyzing the possible meanings and deciphering the possible meanings of your tweets, and then they're taking action against you based on a perception of what your tweet could mean. Isn't this a fucking Sylvester Stallone movie back in the day? Where they were cops, like Time Cop or something, where he was in a movie with Sandra Bullock or something. They were, you could get charged with a crime just by your thoughts, or they could predict your thoughts and charge you with a crime. That'll be next, right? Listen to Graham. Well, what a freedom fighter. This guy, he's the white Frederick Douglass. I mean, this guy's a really fucking... Twitter may ban me for this. I'm sure they will. You know. You're really a rebel rouser. I don't know too many rebel rousers are moisturized. Twitter may ban me for this, but I willingly accept the fate. Your decision to permanently ban President Trump is a serious mistake. The Ayatollah can tweet, but Trump can't. Says a lot about the people who run Twitter. Wow, that's going to get you kicked off, buddy. Woo, that was scathing. Sick burn. I'm more determined than ever to strip Section 230 protections from big tech. Until Trump's gone in 9 days, and then you'll stab him in the back again. Marat fucking sod style. These guys are so gutless. Gutless jellyfish. All the way around. It's really amazing. The only reason we are given this this breadstick any press is because he's so feckless and so weak. And it's indicative of what we have in D.C. representing us, so to speak, on both sides of the aisle. They're all fucking gutless pieces of shit. Anyway. Dem governors demand more vaccine doses from the feds. But they haven't even used the ones up that they have. Oh, yeah, you know why? They want to make it look like they are using a lot of them. About to play the game tonight by some Kansas. This is just a game, folks. I hope we are doing a good job here on the Thomas Spain podcast of explaining that to you. And also in our Patreon.com/TruePundit and Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. We are doing you justice explaining how the game is played and how it plays you and how you can strike back by educating yourself. 8 Democratic governors are demanding that the federal government release doses of the coronavirus vaccine that have been withheld for a second round of inoculations, even though the states involved have large stockpiles of unused vaccine doses. Send us more. So it makes it look like the demand is high. These guys don't even understand basic economics. It's called the law of supply and demand. When supply is high, demand is obviously low. And when demand is high, supply is low. Okay, they've rewritten. And the tenets of socialism, they've rewritten a basic principle of capitalism and economics. They say the supply is high and the demand is... They're making it seem like the demand is high. It doesn't work that way. It's a seesaw, you fucking dummies. But just like everything else, it's rigged. One of the states... Governors, Andrew, I like to kill old people. Cuomo has seen hundreds of vaccine doses. Cuomo's back in the news. We should play the Christmas donkey song. I didn't know he was going to be in this. Cuomo has seen hundreds of vaccine doses destroyed due to the rigid guidelines limiting who can receive the vaccine. Kansas, another state whose governor signed the letter, 48th out of 50 in terms of administrating doses, was allocated. Kansas has used just 19% of its stockpile. Okay. But give me more, right? You know why? Big Pharma makes more money. HHS and everybody else, they spend more money. It's rigged, folks. It's all fucking rigged. Public's not taking it, but you're still paying for it. They're destroying doses of the vaccine. Listen to these idiots. In the letter. Again, they have plenty, more than plenty, okay? But they want more. And then they're acting like there's some kind of a crisis because they don't have enough. Let's play some CCR.
We demand that the federal government begin distributing these reserve doses to states immediately, the governors wrote to Alex Azar, the Secretary of Health and Human Lobbying. Services. And General Gustav Perna, who's overseeing logistics for the federal government's vaccine program. These two geniuses. The governors of California, Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Washington also signed a letter. What a surprise.
All maniacs. Federal government has withheld half of the doses manufactured by Pfizer and Moderna in order to provide a second round of inoculations for people who have already received the vaccine. There's been a growing push amid a terribly slower than expected vaccine rollout to release a second round of doses in order to get the vaccine into the arms of more people. Yeah, not kidding. Literally into the arms. Don't worry, Biden will release all the available doses from the stockpile. You can guarantee you that. And then he'll order more for his friends in Big Pharma. New York has used just 31% of its available stockpile. They love to hoard at your cost, at your expense, don't they? Not much more lower your tax burden would be without New York always throwing fucked up things onto your federal tax rolls to benefit their stupid policies. Yeah, usually when you have somebody like de Blasio and Cuomo saying they want something, run for the hills. It's going to cost you more money. That's a... Anyway. It ain't me, man. Ain't no fortunate son. These guys are fortunate sons, though, aren't they? Fortunate, unfortunate that we have to put up with these sons of bitches. Okay, what do we got here? About some strange brew by Cream, and we'll be talking about a strange brew again, the vaccine. Miami doctor dies after receiving his first dose of a Pfizer vaccine. Yikes. As the U.S. sees 4,000 confirmed COVID-19 deaths in a single day, the CDC is reporting another shocking potential reaction to the new mRNA vector COVID-19 vaccines. The strange brew, a doctor in Miami, has died 2 weeks after receiving the first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech jab. The love of my life, my husband Gregory Michael, MD, an obstetrician that had his office in Mount Sinai Medical Center, his widow now, tweeted. Heidi Neckelman, the widow of Dr. Gregory Michael, said her husband was vaccinated on December 18th and died 16 days later. He was 56. Yikes. Patients typically receive a second dose of the vaccine 3 weeks after the first. He didn't make it. He didn't make it to the second vaccine, second dose. His widow shared the news and a Facebook post online as well. In my mind, his death was 100% linked to the vaccine. There is no other explanation, she said. He was in very good health. He didn't smoke. He drank alcohol once in a while, but only socially. He worked out. We had kayaks. He was a deep sea fisherman. Well, he got deep sicked by Big Pharma. Wow. And we only told you this kind of stuff was going to happen very often, and it has. What's more, the doctor started to experience unusual symptoms. And 3 days after vaccination, Small spots began to appear on Gregory Michaels' feet and hands. In response, he went to the emergency room at Mount Sinai, where he worked. As his blood count was not in the normal ranges, he was admitted to the ICU. Shortly after, he suffered a stroke and died. Tell me again why I should get this vaccine. I'm curious. 99.9% recovery rate from COVID-19, but you should get spots on your hands and feet and then suffer strokes and die because the government told you that's a good idea and to trust them. Oh, I'll get right fucking on that. Jesus. Earlier, Carlos Palestino, the brother-in-law of Mexican doctor Carla Cecilia Perez, was paralyzed hours after receiving the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19, according to reports. It's no big deal. At least she's still alive. That would be the thinking of Big Pharma. Well, he didn't die. So we'll just put him down as an adverse reaction. He's paralyzed, for fuck's sake. Yeah, well, he had a bad reaction. Put it down as a bad reaction, Wilson. God damn it. You better have that report to me. Have those adverse reaction TPS reports on Smithers' desk or that pederast Hanrahan. It's going to be all over you again. So he's paralyzed and I put it down as a bad reaction. Yeah, that's right. Bad reaction. New guys. These new guys always take a lot of train. We're rolling out the new theme song of the vaccine. It's maybe something you didn't anticipate. So I think this has just been licensed to the vaccines.
Wipeout.
There have been several. Where's this article from? There have been several anecdotal reports about patients dying after receiving the vaccine in Europe, the United States, and elsewhere, in both trials and during emergency phase of the rollout. How dare they report on these these facts? Wipeout is... Now, if you get the vaccine, everybody gets a free 45 LP, 45 LP of Wipeout. Headline, here it comes. Patriot Act 2.0 aimed at the unwoke enemy within. I need a drink. It's not like anybody knew this was going to happen. You've been listening to this show. Sometimes I wish I was wrong about certain things, but it's going to get worse. Vaccine front. So now we're going to weather the Patriot Act 2.0. I can't wait. I'm excited. We'll be doing this show from a jungle in Costa Rica before. I'll be on a hamster wheel trying to generate electricity. I'm using a bamboo camera. Talking into a tin can with a string. It's not been often in 5 years. We've had a cop. What the hell kind of writing is this? What kind of bullshit is this? This is brutal. Is this written with a crayon? Let's rewrite it. Let's rewrite it. Let's find, I'll melt with you, right? Especially if you take that vaccine, you might melt as well. The storming of the Capitol, America's nightmare. Although there is not yet any talk of legislation in response to the Capitol Hill riots, it's certainly true that there are whispers of purges and other measures to protect the Constitution. Oh, yeah, these guys in D.C. are suddenly fucking worried about protecting the Constitution. Right. They've trampled on us so many times, there's not much to protect. As it turns out, there's actually been talk of legislation for weeks, even months. Soon-to-be President Joe Biden promised a new domestic terrorism bill back in November. That was broke by the Wall Street Journal. I'm sure I'll be on that list eventually. It's Thomas Paine podcast coming live from Siberia.
We have electricity for 5 minutes.
Show goes down to tubes. You know, 6 minutes. I do my plugs and then the electricity runs out. That is why you're seeing so much usage of the phrase domestic terrorism in the last couple of days. You know, it's funny. The biggest domestic terror plotters and domestic terrorists in D.C. are suddenly concerned about you out here. You know, they always accuse you of what they're doing. These guys have used the Constitution as a dish rag for decades, decimated our country, pillaged it financially, stolen from you time and time again, and now you're going to be painted as a terrorist. That's nice, isn't it? You know what's great, though, for me? Be honest with you. I don't recognize this as a government anymore. I still love the concept of the United States of America, but I don't recognize the Justice Department and the FBI as legitimate. And most of the other government agencies, I no longer recognize them as legitimate in my own mind. So I don't get too upset about things. Some people came to me and said, hey, are you going to try to get a pardon from President Trump? I said, for what? Well, you know, because you guys have done a lot of work and helped him get elected in 2016, and he should throw you a pardon for everything you've had to go through and your family's had to go through with the FBI. I said, I don't recognize the Justice Department as having any authority. And when a body like this is so corrupt, who cares what they say about you? I don't give a fuck. I paid my dues, and now I get to beat up on them. I don't need a pardon. I don't see them as legitimate. So why would I care about having a pardon from a government that I can have a pardon from a government that I don't consider legitimate any longer? They don't represent me. They don't represent the people I care about. They don't. So you'll get there eventually. One way or the other. Takes years of anger, though. A lot of anger. And then you just say, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't get as mad if I just didn't consider them legitimate. Are they legitimate at this point? I mean, do you still consider these people legitimate? And these agencies legitimate? I don't. It's lopsided. It's fucking rigged. They don't. It's the same old train. Ask Marty Stewart and Earl Scruggs and friends. Same old train. It's been happening for a long time. Only certain people go to jail for things. The other folks are protected. The beautiful people are protected. It's not legitimate. It's rigged. It's corrupt. It can't be recovered. It can't be fixed without massive, massive fucking problems. They're going to do everything they can to make sure they keep their foot on your neck, including this right here. Primary talking points for this whole exercise. It was underlined in all the memos sent out to all the media outlets. Domestic terrorism. That's why Joe Biden went to such lengths to distinguish domestic terrorists from protesters in his speech following the riots. That's why the Council of Foreign Relations had an interview with a counterterrorism and national security expert published within 24 hours of the incident. But she spends four paragraphs arguing that the people who stormed the Capitol were domestic terrorists. Folks, If you're familiar with the Irish Republican Army, you want to see some fucking terrorism, and you don't want to look beyond the Middle East, look with the IRA, okay? The IRA, just like radical terrorists in the Middle East, they don't storm places and take fucking selfies. The very notion that you would call these people domestic terrorists is laughable. Based on the definition of terrorism through the ages. The IRA and ISIS and friends didn't break into buildings and carry around fucking lecterns and podiums. Take selfies sitting at a desk. That's not terrorism. It's laughable. That's why the Washington Post got an article dedicated to lawmakers and experts arguing that the Capitol Hill protest was an act of domestic terrorism. And then same thing was on Vox and Mother Jones. I always like when they roll out the counterterrorism and national security experts who talk about domestic terrorism. Former FBI guys who work for one of the biggest domestic terror cartels in the world. The FBI, DOJ. You guys are literally experts. That's why ABC had an article about how domestic terrorism and hate crimes were a growing problem in America. Except the ABC had the article just a couple days before the riot took place. Oh, that doesn't seem strange at all. That's why hashtag Trump is a domestic terrorist was trending on Twitter. Georgetown University, that's a well-known spy college. Published a paper in September titled The Need for Specific Laws Against Domestic Terrorism. That doesn't seem odd at all. Op-ed pieces bemoaning the lack of such a law have been dotted through the press going back to last summer and even late 2019. There was one published yesterday in which a senior FBI official, again, another expert in terrorism, he worked for the greatest terror cartel in the world, says more could have been done if there had been a specific law outlawing domestic terrorism. There's already fucking, it's so stupid. There's already tons of legislation and laws on the books against terrorism, either domestic or foreign. This is a fucking charade, man. This guy's just so full of shit. If half of this country or more wasn't fucking asleep, it's time to go with some grand illusion, goddammit. It's just a grand illusion. So now to write a domestic terrorism law to really stick it up your ass. And you can bet your ass they'll include hate speech, and anything you say against the government eventually will be considered hate. I better learn how to swim better. I'm going to have to swim to Cuba with my podcasting microphone. I better get some of those those swimmies I used to put on my kids when they went in the pool or in the ocean. Put your swimmies on, Mike. You have to swim to Cuba. Okay, honey, I'll be back. It's only 90 miles from the Keys. Don't worry, I'll be back. I can do a live remote. I'm 2 miles into the trip, and I didn't account for these sharks. Anyway, check me out later on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. I'm going to need some help. You know what else is going to be? We're going to be in there, you can bet your ass, spreading misinformation from the fucking government, who's the king of misinformation and bullshit. Hate speech, spreading misinformation. And then it'll be questioning elections. That's hate speech. Questioning the government. That'll be hate speech. They'll make it an outright crime. It'll be just like the fucking UK. If you question the COVID vaccine or pandemic like we've done on here 6-7 months, that's going to be hate speech too. I'm going to be fucking locked up again. Jesus Christ. Why not make climate change, too? If you question climate change, that's going to be a crime, too. It's funny how all these things come out, the Patriot Act and everything else. They come out after these very suspicious situations. 9/11, Oklahoma City bombings. That's weird. We lose massive civil rights after every time one of these things happen. Are these really organic things? Am I allowed to question that? You know, I already found a loophole. We'll just question everything. Be like when you're in Canada. Everything's a question. Like, how you... they speak their dialect in many places. In Canada, they ask... They end their sentences with a question mark. That's what you have to do. Everything... No, I didn't say... I didn't say that there was a problem with the vaccine or there's a problem with the election. I was asking, is there a problem with the election? Government lawyers would be like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Get him out of here. Just end all your statements with a question mark, and that's the loophole. Of course, nobody will know what the hell you're talking about. You get a question mark on your green turtleneck like Frank fucking Gorsha the Riddler. Well, they're getting the team back together. They're getting the band back together. Biden and all the weirdo Democrats. So I would say the same assholes that were there for 9/11, after Oklahoma City, after Waco and all these things. So anything's possible when they get these assholes back together. That's what I would say. It's all part of the grand illusion, folks. Enjoy the show while you can before they lock me up. I have to check out. My lawyers petitioned the court to go to a place with really good Wi-Fi. Do a prison show. Folsom Prison. 50 years later. Anyway. Folks, thanks for helping us keep the lights on. I think I'll just stay here and drink, right, Merle Haggard? That's about right. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on at patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. As we head into, yikes. Unbelievable.
Good, quit doing wrong, start doing right. You don't care about what I think. I think I'll just stay here and drink.
Anybody else feel that way? Jesus. I say God bless America. He can't do it fast enough, and he can't do it enough. Speaking of that, we are blessed to have the support we have on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, and we would like to have more of that support so we can grow this thing. And we have many, many needs here as the show grows. And we appreciate what we have. Would we like more? Absolutely. We want to grow. We want to be able to compete in a rigged marketplace. It's very hard. It really is. It's tough. The deck is stacked against us. You know, you lose 50 or 60,000 people, followers. Coming off losing 160,000 at the end of last year when they just whacked the True Pundit account. No reason given. We didn't do anything wrong. Literally, doesn't matter. You understand how it works now. It's rigged. Thanks for jumping in. You get access to the forums. Everybody's talking. A lot of comments and intel going back and forth. And I guess there's probably even a place on there for recipes if you... If you fancy yourself looking for a recipe. We're looking for a recipe to grow and a recipe to continue to have success. So we appreciate the support on there. You get access to the video podcast, Paint After Dark show. Just to, like I said, at the top of the show, we did 3 hours on Saturday. 3 good hours, solid hours, not just babble and junk like you see on TV and everything else. So we appreciate it. If you can't jump in, folks, we could use the help. It comes out to about a cup of coffee and a half for a month. Return on investment is, I would say, definitely leans toward the user, which is good. That's what you want. You want some bang for your buck. Be back here tomorrow. Bringing the heat, so to speak. And until then, keep your chin up. Like, I got to keep your chin up. So hold your head up. Maybe you a little Uriah Heep. Try to say little Uriah Heep five times fast. Your head spin. Hold your head up. Yeah, maybe one with little Uriah Heep. That's good advice, too. Take care and God bless. I'll just be staying here and drinking, I think. We'll be right back.
Check one, check two.